From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in a metal bucket. One that, at least the one that's in the back of my car, doesn't always smell very good, but it's very useful. It's a gray bucket with a name spelled in permanent black marker, and every Tuesday this bucket makes its way, carrying weekly food waste in a Rochester household. Mine in this case, yes, but hundreds, if not thousands more, going to places like the Maplewood Rose Garden, where a city crew is waiting to weigh the scraps and take them for composting. This Rochester program was, for some of the participants, the first chance to try composting. Dozens became hundreds, and the interest in composting swelled. And yet, while research shows more Americans are becoming interested in composting, roughly 95% of food waste is just thrown away, not composted at all. The EPA says there are various reasons why less than 5% of food scraps are composted, and it's lagging in this country. The EPA says in some places there's just not a lot of services, whether it's municipal services like Rochester's or otherwise. Sometimes it's a funding issue. Sometimes it's legislative hurdles or regulations. And sometimes it's an issue of education, helping people understand not only what their options are, but how to do it at home. So I've been wondering about the Rochester program for a little while as a participant myself. Is it still popular? Are people still doing it in terms of signing up? You're going to get some answers on that today. And we're going to talk about what other towns, counties are doing or can do. And if you want to compost at home, we're going to talk about how you can do that as well here. Let me welcome our guest from the city of Rochester. Theodore Maxey is manager of the Solid Waste Division for the city. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to LaShawna Boos, recycling coordinator for the city of Rochester. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Also with us as well, Elias Putney is composting operations manager for Impact Earth. Hello, Elias.
Thank you for having me.
And TJ Chess, natural resources educator for Cornell Cooperative Extension of Monroe County. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Theodore, I want to start with you. In the city of Rochester, I don't even remember when this, I called it a pilot program. Is this still a pilot program?
Yes.
It still
yes.
is. Okay.
Still
and been going for how long now?
3 years now.
3 years. All right. Yep. How are your numbers? People, how many people have signed up for it?
Good. Our numbers are, we have about 1,938 signed up for the program.
I think it felt like at first, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there was like the goal was 1,000 at first.
Yes, it was.
Is that right?
Yes.
So you're right around 2,000.
Yes.
Now. That's a good sign.
Yep.
That's a great sign. So as you just spoke about, we launched the program 3 years ago. So that was July 2021, right? And so our main goal for year one was to get 1,000 participants. And we did just that. And so year two and year three, how we expanded the program is we opened it up to 500. And then year three, we did another 500 because we were trying to do some other partnership and initiatives in the second and third year of our program. So we've done some things like looking at nonprofits. We did some participation with our Tree Ambassadors program just to start educating Rochester residents about, you know, what is composting and what it looks like for our city.
So, LaShawna, I mean, 3 years in, it looks like a resounding success so far. How do you describe it?
I absolutely do describe it as such, right? One of the things that we get to see on a regular basis is literally residents like you and myself and Maxie, you know, all coming into this. Well, I know I came in very green, right? You know, we talk about sustainability and especially being in an urban setting, you know, it's a little bit different only because, you know, you have neighbors right next to you. You know, when we talk about some of our rural areas, it's easier to do composting in your backyard. Because you don't have as many challenges or hurdles that, you know, may come when you're in a highly dense populated area. And so with having this pilot program, not only does it encourage our residents to come and find out what composting looks like for urban areas, but it encourages us all to come and gather together to learn different, you know, tricks and, you know, other ways to be successful at composting and diverting all of those food scraps away from our landfill.
Well, 3 years in, it is very easy as a resident to do it. What I am wondering is, are you looking to grow even more here, Ted? I mean, what's the plan here?
We are looking at a fourth site that hasn't been decided yet, but yes, there is a plan to have a fourth site.
If you're in the city of Rochester and you are not part of this, right now, can you sign up to
yes.
do more? Okay, how do you do it?
cityofrochester.com. I'm sorry, .gov.
.gov.
Yep, and you'll be able to type in Rock City Compost, and it'll take you right to the website.
Listeners, if you're a city resident, you want to check this out, we'll put a link in our show notes so you can have that easily accessible. And you can maybe get involved here because, 3 years in, as you just heard Lashana mention, a ton of interest, a lot of growth. And it looks, not to use too much of a buzzword, but this looks pretty sustainable from my end as a resident. I mean, the plan is to keep it going into the future?
Yes.
For how long? Forever, I hope?
Yeah, we hope forever as well. But yes, the plan is to keep it going and hopefully get the fourth site by next year.
And Lashana, do you, you talk to people who work on these crews. They're all so pleasant. They all know your names. They're just wonderful. So again, I've done this before, but I'm going to say it again. Shout out to the Maplewood crew. I always see them on Tuesday. They're great. Thank you for knowing everybody's name and being so pleasant, no matter if it's snowing or if it's 90 degrees or everything in between. It's great. What's the feedback you've gotten from residents on this, Lashana?
We had an opportunity to talk to some of our residents because we did some prizes and giveaways and things like that. And I think the best feedback we got back is we had an opportunity to present at the Recycling Advisory Committee, which is a countywide body that we all come together to talk about recycling trends. And so the city has had an opportunity to talk about our compost program. And so we had an opportunity to hear from our participants just talking about how they absolutely love the fact that they actually get to gather together. It's a positive point of contact for the city of Rochester when bringing your compost to our drop-off sites.
I can totally, absolutely validate that in this weird way. we often, we know probably our neighbors' names than our parents and grandparents did. Mm-hmm. We're a little more shut off. And yet when you show up for these drop-offs, you often see the same neighbors. People have the same kind of schedules. Everyone's saying hello. Mm-hmm. You feel a little bit more connected in that way. I love that part of it. I think Lashana's on the money there. Rochester's not the only city, of course, that's doing this. I want our guests on the other side of the table to tell you a little bit more about what they're doing. And Elias, you want to tell us a little bit about what Impact Earth is doing? Tell me about the Henrietta Partnership, what's going on there, and then maybe some of the other places this is happening.
Absolutely, Evans. Yeah, so we started this partnership with Henrietta. We negotiated within the last year. We're working on a site on Middle Road, centered right in Henrietta. It's their old Millings Fill site, and we'll be developing it specifically for ASP composting, which we'll be hoping to start this fall.
And when it comes to the work that you're doing with any other town here, we've been talking about Rochester, but this big region, this broadcast, well, we've got a listener. I've already got an email from Vancouver, Canada. Oh, so we got interest far and wide here. How do more organizations, municipalities, how do they get involved?
Yeah, so when we first had a meeting with Craig Eckert at the facility, 520 Middle Road, we accepted legislators and representatives from several municipalities around Rochester and Monroe County at large who were interested in the development of that site, its progression as it moves forward, and potentially using it as a blueprint for their own communities.
Okay. So, we'll have links in our show notes if you're part of an organization that wants to learn more about this, part of schools, et cetera. My sense, Elias, is just reading some of the data and some of the stories that we've been reading before this program, this is kind of a weird time because I feel like a decade ago I knew very little about composting myself. I was just starting to look into it more at home, which we're going to talk about in a moment. I think in 2024 more people have heard of it or are interested, and yet there's still the vast majority of food waste not being composted. So it just seems like a big wasted opportunity. What do you think?
Yeah, so one of our big focuses as an organization is the zero waste behavior change. So trying to focus on getting people to change their habits so that they're producing less waste in the first place. And then whatever waste they are producing, they're directing into their proper streams.
How do you see it, this current moment, TJ? You think people want to do it and just don't know? How do you think? What is stopping that number from growing of 5% food waste being composted? That's a small number. What's the biggest barrier to making it 10%, 20%, 50%?
I think it depends on, your own personal situation. I know some people are really busy and they feel like it takes more time to actually sort through their compost. But, if we go back to when recycling became more big thing and like the city had people recycle, people were having those same concerns at first with that. other concerns people have are like the smell or if it attracts rodents. And if you compost correctly, which there are lots of resources, whether it's the city, Impact Earth, or CCE, then you can know and how to navigate your compost to be able to not have those concerns, and those will never happen.
There's no smell-free compost totally, is there?
Well, I mean, it smells earthy if you're doing it right, and it won't smell like it won't smell like rotten food, though. As long as you're continuously adding your woody materials or dried leaves to counter with the fruits and vegetables you're putting in.
Yeah, go ahead, LaShawna.
So one of the things that we discovered in the community discussions that we have at our drop-off sites in regards to smell is what we found is that if you freeze it, so if you do a small freeze before you put it in the bucket, it makes it a lot less odorous when you bring it to the drop-off sites for the city of Rochester. And so, you know, and having that conversation, those are some of the things that we talk about right at the drop-off sites about what will be helpful to kind of get new people to join the program that's if one of their concerns is, you know, smell.
Good advice there. Anything you want to add on smell?
No, but I do want to add another barrier that some people may have, because I am a renter, and so I don't have a backyard. I would love to garden, but I can't garden. So it's like, what do you do with your compost if you're composting at home? There's a lot of opportunities that you can have to get involved with the community. Like, you could connect to a local community garden or an urban farm, or connect to one of these programs that are being highlighted today about your compost. I wouldn't just bring your compostable material to a farm without asking. You know, you got to make sure they want it or they could use it. But there's, like, for city residents, there's a lot of avenues that you can go to be able to get rid of that stuff if you don't have the means to hold it yourself or you're not a gardener.
Do you think a lot of these conversations tend to, and I'm sure most not intentionally, but do they sort of privilege homeowners, people with yards, people who are not renters?
That's a tough question. I don't really think it does. I think that the way that we educate the community is how that will allow it to turn out. So as long as we are educating the community on there are avenues for people that are renting and there are avenues for people that don't have gardens, then it's fine. Now, homeowners, they usually are, I'm not trying to call people out, but they're usually the people using the inorganic fertilizers. So that's also a really big target. We want people to not use those fertilizers, use more organic stuff like compost for their gardens and their lawns.
Listeners, if you've got questions about any of this stuff, composting, et cetera, and I already have emails, that's great. Send more of them. We'll get through as many as we can on composting. Connections@WXXI.org is your email. Connections@WXXI.org. You can call the program toll-free. It's 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester. 263-9994. I have two notes from restaurateurs. So this is a big one here, and I'm wondering if more restaurants are doing it. First of all, Christopher wants to know if the city program is available for commercial businesses, or is it just homes for private residents here?
Right now it's just homes for private residents.
Yeah. Okay. What would you say to a restaurant owner in Rochester who wants to do more composting here? What's the message here? LaShawna?
Well, I guess I would pass that one to Impact Earth. They have so many options when it comes to commercial. The city of Rochester hasn't really done anything with that yet. So, Elias, would you like to share?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So we offer three different sizes of commercial pickups, 32, 64, and 96, which we can pick up on a regular schedule anywhere in Monroe County.
What are the sizes?
32, 64, and 96 gallon.
Okay. And what is a typical restaurant using?
So just for example, Lento right around the corner in Village Gate, they use 2 96-gallon toters per week.
Now you outed them. Art is the other one who's been sending notes here. So, okay. Hey, a little free advertising for a business didn't hurt anybody. Shout out to Art and the team at Lento, a James Beard nominated chef who is also composting. Art did want to know here. He said, by the way, he calls himself a very satisfied Impact Earth customer, but wanted to know about paper and cardboard with ink. and glossy paper boxes like what you would get pastries or donuts in.
Yeah, so any glossy paper that has a waxy coating to it, we cannot take. That will not break down in the composting process, as well as most inks. Most inks are petroleum-based. We cannot take those.
That's you're nodding over there. That's true as well with the city program.
Yes.
That's pretty,
yes.
pretty standard, it sounds like, in composting.
Yes.
TJ, anything you want to add to that part of it? I mean, that's probably true at home as well?
Yeah, I mean, I use a worm compost, and so we have to use paper. I take shredded paper for my job, and we don't use glossy paper, and we don't use waxed paper, but like newspaper or print paper that's just like black. And I put it on top of the worms to help dry out when it gets too wet. But nothing really else to add there.
Okay, 844 Art. By the way, Christopher, thank you for those comments, questions. Restaurants, big issue, I know. And we're talking composting. 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI for calling from Rochester, 263-9994, or email us, connections@WXXI.org. From CNBC here, you know, I don't think Chipotle needs free advertising, but I will mention that there was a story about their increasing composting goals across 3,200 restaurants. Chipotle says they've got a waste reduction as one of their goals, that they have changed executive compensation bonuses. So, you know, if you're worried about the CEOs and the managerial class of Chipotle, as I'm sure we all are, they are including composting goals and waste reduction to earn some of those bonuses. So that's interesting. The restaurant chain, according to CNBC, is already diverting its waste from landfills, with nearly half of all trash produced getting composted or recycled last year. And they've got a plan to open 250 new locations a year. And they are claiming, and you know, let's hope that we can hold them accountable to this, that composting is a big part of what they want to do. So, hey, glad they're talking about it. I think probably we all should be talking about it. I mean, Eliza, more schools doing this? I mean, you got schools involved?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So we have a couple of universities in the area, as well as a couple of K-12 schools. I'd like to highlight Brighton. It's our longest partner, Brighton High School. We've been working with them for the last 7 years. We also work with RIT, and that's a contracted partnership with Casella Waste Services. And then we also work with SUNY Geneseo.
So a lot of different ways for you to get involved here. Here is David in Vancouver, Canada, saying, I'd say having the city do your composting for you would work the best. We've had weekly pickup of compostables with city-provided large green bins for perhaps a decade and a half in Vancouver. Pretty much everyone puts out their compost for pickup every week. That's for David. So I want to hit a couple of points related to what David said. So David is talking about in his city, they put it out in a bin for pickup the way that you would do garbage or recycling. In the city's program, for example, you're bringing your compost to one of several locations. And that model will continue, I assume?
Yes.
Is that just a, you know, you don't necessarily have the resources to get around 2,000 homes and pick up? Is that the issue right now?
Well, it's something that they continue to ask for, but we found a lot of success in the drop-off sites. So we're going to go in that direction until we look more into the, you know, pick up at your home.
Yeah. Anything you want to add, LaShawna?
Yeah, and when we look at the success of that, with Maxie highlighting that we have over 1,900 participants, we have diverted over 320 tons of food scraps from the landfill. So we know that the community drop-off is doing amazing things for the city of Rochester for this program.
How many tons, do you know how many a year you're doing, roughly? I would love to know.
So because it's still growing, we don't have an average. We've just been totaling everything. So for our first year, we had about 78 tons. Our second year, we had about 94 tons. And this third year, we had 147 tons. So we're doing very well when we talk about growing. And I know Elias talked about changing, you know, consumers' habits with the zero waste. But I think that when you talk about the good that compost does, if we're, you know, with this gradual change of consumer habits, diverting it from the landfill is going to be the best option.
I mean, that comes out to 202 pounds a year per person involved. That was my very fast math. How was that, city of Rochester officials? Pretty good.
Good.
Is that like roughly close around 200 pounds?
That's about that. Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah.
So I was told there would be no math. I let producer Megan Mack do all the smart things, and I handled the math. That's part of it. That's a tremendous contribution per participant. I mean, that's a lot. I'm sure there's questions people have. And in a moment, we're going to talk about some very, very common questions on composting that all of our guests will be able to help you with. Whether you're doing this at home, whether you're doing it through the city program, or whether your organization would want to go through an Impact Earth or related organization for this. And we'll get more of those emails in a moment at connections@wxxi.org. But 202 pounds a year, or whatever the number is, roughly 200 minutes, that's a lot that is being diverted. I feel like I'm doing an ad now for the city, but I mean, the reality is that is obviously successful, LaShawn. I mean, people are signing up, but it looks like the vast majority are not signing up and then not participating. It looks like you've got active participants. Is that a good way to describe it?
Absolutely. We would describe it as such. We have a participation rate that's about 60 some odd percent. Mm-hmm. So of the 1,900 people that we're talking about, 60% of them. So if we can only imagine what the numbers will look like if it was 100% of all our participants that are signed up for the program.
That means that the average is even higher if
you're
40% not doing it. But no, I mean, that's a lot because you have to make the commitment. Usually it's weekly, but maybe you miss weeks here and there. But you're driving to a location or you're getting to a location. You're taking your scraps. You know, we take our neighbors sometimes. Our neighbors take ours. Yeah. Usually we take theirs because we're very, very friendly. It's a great program for us. So again, I've done enough PR for the city of Rochester and I got to stop talking about me. But listeners, I want to hear about your experiences. And I do want to hear if you're doing this at home as well. So we'll get those questions, comments in just a moment here. Let me also mention the phone number one more time, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester, 263-9994. All right, David's other point was he just thinks it's easier to have the city do it here. TJ, what would you say to that? I mean, you want more people to do this, and if they don't have a municipal or a local or a county program, then they may have to do this on their own here. But what do you make of David's point that he thinks it's best to do it through a municipal program?
Well, I definitely agree, especially if the program is implemented and running well. Now, if for not everybody, there might be a barrier there for people that won't be able to drop off. Those are the people that might want to look into other alternative options, like doing something at home, whether it's having your own small pile in the back or having like a worm compost. But I do agree that there's a lot of benefit when it comes to a more municipal centralized system for us to continue to compost. I think that's going to create a bigger answer to how we divert food waste from landfills than us doing it individually.
TJ's going to give you the quick starter kit idea on doing this at home. And it starts with what do people need with physical materials? And then I want you to talk a little bit about ratios, because the first time I tried to do this at home 10 years ago or whatever, I was not adding any leaves. I was not adding, is that brown? What? Okay, so whatever the material, the ratio was, I wasn't doing it, and I wasn't getting a great result.
So, and feel free to chime in whenever, but I'll say, like, you could start with either, whether it's like a chicken wire or a mesh. Like, if you can't afford that, you could dig a hole in the ground as long as you cover it up. Or you could even build your own wooden structure, or you could have a tote that has worms in it as long as you drill holes for air for the worms to be able to survive. Now, those are some materials. In terms of the materials you need to compost, you need you kind of alluded to it, the browns and greens. So your browns are like your more woody material, like leaves, sticks. I don't want to say sawdust if you're doing it at home. I would avoid that because it'll dry out your compost pretty quickly, unless you're using
And you
like,
want
manure.
Moisture in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Water and air. And there is a fifth one. I call it like an equation, like browns plus greens plus water plus air equals compost. But you got to have heat too. But the heat comes with the activity of the compost. You could set your compost up. I'd say if you live near water, set it up like kind of close to where that would be. You don't want to set it up close to your house if you don't have to, I guess. But then if it's more shaded, that might be beneficial. And then make sure that you're always... They say when you start it, do like a lasagna style. So start with like a bunch of larger sticks at the bottom, so there's aeration coming from the bottom. Then you do like your leaves or your paper, which is your browns, then your greens, and then you keep going. And then after that, once your compost is beginning to establish, you want to start turning it, and that's where you get your air. And that's the problem with landfills is that they're not always getting that air because there isn't turning. And so it's layered on top of itself, and that's what's causing methane to be released. So you don't want to be releasing methane from your own compost pile. So you got to make sure to turn it at least once a week. In the summertime, it'll take 2 weeks to 2 months, potentially, depending on how hot it is. In the winter, you're not going to see a lot of activity. I might have missed something. But.
So first of all, that is a great start. Turning it once a week is not something I was doing at all. I'm not even sure I turned it once a year. That didn't help. I wasn't adding the browns. That didn't help. I didn't have your equation going very, very well. But one of the things that I was wondering when I started, and I imagine a lot of people listening would be wondering, is how long until they see something resembling, you know, sort of that rich, dark-colored soil, composted soil. Is that years away? Does that happen faster if they do it with proper ratios and do it right? What's that look like?
It can happen within a couple months, but sometimes you don't see it for a couple years. So some people, they have multiple. If you do just have a hole in the ground, dig a second one. So then you can move it over and put your fresh stuff, because the problem is you're putting fresh stuff in with the stuff that's establishing into compost. So having a couple, whether it's you have two little mesh fencing areas set up or two holes in the ground so you can move them over from your material that's more finished and then your material that's more new, that'll help you to get closer to that end product.
Elias, do you want to add to any of the how-to steps here?
Yeah, TJ, that was a great backyard composting explanation. It sounds very similar with some slight twists for a much larger scale. We use an ASP composting system, which is an aerated static pile, which means we're taking PVC pipes, running them underneath our compost piles and blowing air through the pile so that we don't have to take large equipment or machinery and actually turn the piles regularly or weekly. We can wait until it's finished going through that phase and move it on to the next. 100% a big woody base on the bottom so that the air can get through nice and easy. We use a ratio of about 3-1 of carbon to nitrogen or food waste, and that we find that brings out a good product.
3-1?
3 browns to 1 greens.
And again, browns can be raked leaves from your yard or from your street, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know, we're all about to have a lot of leaves no matter where you live around you. So that's a great way to get browns if you need them. People also want to go ahead.
Can I add
to
that?
TJ, yeah.
I would save bags of leaves in your garage or in your basement, wherever you can store them.
To add to your compost?
Because you don't get them in the summer and like you get less in the spring. So, it's a finite number you're going to have from your yard. So definitely save some leaves. And that'll be beneficial.
Yeah, and go ahead.
It's actually the same with us. We stockpile wood chips during the summer months from local landscaping services so that when the winter, when they're not as active, we have a stockpile to pull from.
Yeah, that's great advice too. And then a question that's very common here that we've gotten multiple times over the years is, you know, if I mulch the leaves first, is that better? If I can cut up the food waste and, you know, literally some people have asked, do I put it through a processor? If I put in a whole piece of, you know, a corn stalk, is that worse than cutting it up? You know, that kind of thing.
There is a finger rule. Like if it's bigger than your finger, you might want to break it. It's a surface area thing. If it's a larger area, you know, say you cut a tomato in half, that's more space for the microorganisms to feed off of it than the full tomato. So it just decomposes faster.
So if you can break it down, sure, that's going to help.
Right, if you can. It's what you have the feasibility to do. But a lot of it, if you're stirring it with a shovel, you could chop it up with your shovel too. Corn cobs might be harder. You might not be able to chop that with a shovel.
That's a harder one.
I'd say especially items like corn cobs or rinds, things that are particularly tough, that in a backyard compost, you would want to make sure those are as much surface area as possible for those, because those take a long time to break down.
Yeah, sometimes you'll see it's pretty successful composting with like a corn cob sticking out of it.
Yes.
You know, things like
yeah,
that, yeah. Still breaking down. Our guest from the city of Rochester, anything you want to add here that you would want people to know Are you happy to defer to the guests across the table on the mechanics of composting?
I think I'm learning a lot.
We're all learning a lot.
Theodore Maxey is with us. LaShana Booth with us from the City of Rochester. LaShana is a recycling coordinator, and Theodore is manager of the Solid Waste Division for the City of Rochester. Elias Putney from Impact Earth and TJ Chess from Cornell Cooperative Extension of Monroe County. Let me get some of your questions. First of all, Dennis wants to know, he says, I've heard that there is a problem with having a site to receive composting. Is that an issue for, I don't know if that's true for municipalities or, you know, a place to receive compost? I don't think there's an issue with that that I know of, at least from the City of Rochester now, is there? There's no, you guys are don't have an issue with sites to receive the composting, right?
No, we don't.
Okay, what about other cities? Any issues with that?
No, so any overflow we receive, we have a network with other composters in the area, Ecoverde in Akron and Buffalo Pirates in Buffalo. Any extra food waste we have that we can't process on site, we partner with them for them to compost.
Evan from the Beechwood neighborhood uses a word that my 12-year-old son says his generation does not use, but he says composting is dope. This is good. He says, Evan says, the composting program is dope. It is super easy. Been doing this since the beginning. I love it. Part of my normal Saturday morning errands. Shout out to the Cobbs Hill crew. Very friendly staff. Reward them for their longevity, professionalism, and friendly service. And says, as a self-serving, hands down, the best thing about this program is my trash doesn't stink from food waste, both inside my house and outside in the toter, and my toter isn't buzzing with yellow jackets this time of year. That's from Evan in the Beechwood neighborhood. That's great feedback.
I know. Thank you, Evan.
very common response from Evan there. And the Cobbs Hill crew who I've, you know, that you see on Saturdays, you know, I see the crew at the Rose Garden. They do really, really great stuff here. Right down the list we go. Debbie says, I have a question about having composted for years. I lived in the South Wedge and had a plastic 4-foot bin with a top. I got excellent compost from it for many years. 3 years ago, I moved to Greece. One of the first things I bought was a compost bin like the one that I had. The soil here in Greece is awful and we have very few worms. It is very sandy. Nothing seems to grow very well. It is part of an old alder forest and very swampy. My compost bin is the same, but a lot of it doesn't break down like my old one did. Do I add worms or water, or is there something else I can do to get it to break down? That's from Debbie. TJ, what do you think?
Well, it sounds like it's pretty wet if it's swampy. So I'd start by adding more of your browns, like some shredded paper or some leaves. And then, I mean, it never hurts to buy some worms and add it to your compost. A worm compost you can have indoors. I know that sounds crazy, but it's not like the worms go everywhere. They're in a contained area, and they eat. They'll just eat the food. The decomposition is a lot faster. And so if you're having trouble, I mean, that's always a good alternative to do a worm compost at home, because it's very easy to manage. You just throw your food in there, make sure it's under the soil, because the worms don't want to come to the top of the soil.
I think we need a little bit more explanation on the worms, though. The worms are coming from where?
You could get worms from, there's different, so there's like, I don't really know what they're, I guess, do I call them farmers? But we get worms at CCE from a place called Northeast Worms. It's here in Rochester. You can buy these worms. They're called red wigglers, and they eat, I don't know how much worth of their body weight.
You know? I don't know.
But they eat a lot, essentially, and that allows, and they'll eat it fast, and then they excrete it, and then that's your compost. So I don't know prices, just because I haven't bought worms in a while, because once you buy a pound of worms, they will reproduce, so then you could just keep creating more worm bins for whatever size you need, or you could give worms to other people if they need some. So I haven't bought them in a while, but that's one place. There's probably other places that sell worms that I'm not as connected with.
Okay.
But yeah, a little, another shot of free advertisement.
Mark wants to know, what does the City of Rochester do with all that composted material?
So our partners here at Impact Earth take all our compost material and they harvested over the season, and then we end up with compost.
And then where's that compost going?
Back to our customers. city residents that come back and we give them a bucket full of compost.
Now you gotta know it's coming, city residents, and it's gonna go fast.
It goes really fast.
LaShawna can back me up on this. I feel like this spring I was like, you got to tell me when it's coming. When's it coming? When's it coming? Because people move on that. Yeah. And related to that, I have a question from Dallas who said, I have had two large compost piles in my yard for a few years now. I used 4 T-posts in a square shape and then wrapped that with animal fencing. For a few years, filled it up with leaves and grass. They're like 4 feet high. After rain and time, it compresses down very quickly. After a few years, the bottom half is that blackish compost stuff. I made a raised planter and mixed half dirt, half compost. After all that, the funny part was my partner kept telling me how shocked she was about how well everything she planted was growing. So if I have a question, it would be, nutrient-wise, how long does compost provide exceptional growth? I guess without rotating crops. So he's wondering, how effective, how long can you get effective fertilizer, I guess, out of this?
It's a great question. So compost is a great carbon sequestration tool. So it sequesters carbon in the ground that would otherwise escape into the atmosphere. And so it helps to reinvigorate soils for years to come. But I suggest, you know, adding a regular amount every year.
And again, if you're planting at home or, you know, literally if you're doing spring planting and you've got compost from the city, this is still kind of a mystery to me. Is like, do you add a little bit and assume it's like a fertilizer? Is it, you know, if you have really thick, you know, topsoil looking compost, is that what you use to put anything from impatiens to other, if you're planting crops and things like that? I mean, what's the ratio?
Yeah, so generally we recommend a 4-to-1 ratio with topsoil to amendment, the compost.
4-to-1. Mm-hmm. Okay, 1 being the compost.
1 being the compost. It's pretty strong.
So, okay, little goes a long way there.
Absolutely.
Dallas' story doesn't surprise you, Elias?
No, not at all.
Surprised at how fast things are growing?
Same with my mother's garden.
You got a super boost from the compost there. I got a couple questions on beef and meats, if beef and meats can go in compost.
Yeah, so in industrial applications, absolutely, in relatively small quantities, mainly because we have to mix it with a higher ratio of carbon to offset the extra nitrogen in that type of food. Generally not recommended for backyard composters because it attracts animals and rodents, and TJ can elaborate.
Yeah, definitely. If you're going to have like no meat, no bones, no dairy, grains, I would avoid, and all that's because of the fats that will attract more animals. You won't get pests otherwise, though, as long as you're keeping the new food waste that you're adding to it covered. But if it's meat or dairy or bones, I would avoid using it at home.
Okay.
In your compost.
Let me get Ann in Pittsford on the phone next. Hello, Ann.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. So, basically, I've been composting for decades in a variety of methods, and I do the routine leave grass 3-to-1. That works okay. What I find easier for me, and because I do have vegetable gardens, I dig a hole, my husband does, about the size of maybe a gallon size hole, and every day we bring out our organic food waste, throw it in the hole. Within 2 days, it's completely disappeared, and we have worms everywhere in the best vegetable gardening compost we have. And that is so simple. We do it all year long. Obviously, if it's 10 feet of snow and totally frozen, but generally speaking, we can do that. I've got other comments. One is thanks to Robert at Impact Earth because he works so very hard. And then my last question is, Monroe County is supposed to be, I think, developing a larger site for organic waste composting. Is that true, or is that in the works? I believe Monroe County Legislature passed something in this regard.
And thank you. Elias, do you have an answer on that one?
Yes, I believe it's going to be an anaerobic biodigester, so it's not going to be windrows composting like we're doing at Impact Earth. So we are not a part of that project.
So let me get, Ann, thank you. And let me get Heidi's question by email, which may have the same answer. Heidi says, I've been composting for years. My parents taught me as a kid. My favorite way is a 2-to-3 bin system made with discarded wood pallets. I moved to a sub-pod system, but it's too small for what we need. Northeastern Worm Farm is awesome. Is there any plan for Monroe County to have its own composting site or several within the county to decrease the distance the compost has to travel? Happy dirt making, that is from Heidi. Is that the same answer as the last question from Ann?
Yeah, very similar. And ultimately, this particular site in Henrietta is what we're hoping to be a blueprint for other municipalities in the area to take and use there.
What is the time frame for that?
We're hoping to have the facility up and running this fall.
Okay. When you create a facility like that, are there all kinds of regulations and neighbors have questions and issues, or has it been pretty smooth?
No, I mean, I've attended 8 or 12 hours of town board meetings, you know, going through the rigmarole of hearing what people have to say, answering their questions. And of course, there's regulatory agencies like the DEC, which we're happy to work with. And of course, the town of Henrietta in our court trying to get it done. And they're being fantastic, planning the site for everything we need to manage everything that we're producing.
And it sounds like from elected officials on down, there's real interest in this kind of a project.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that very first meeting was very inspiring to see all the legislators and representatives from the other municipalities eager to see how this project moves forward.
Dallas mentioned something that in a follow-up that a lot of people have been asking about coffee beans, coffee grounds, and wondering if those are green or brown. What's the category? So if you're thinking about leaves, sticks, twigs, can you replace that wood chips with coffee grounds, or is coffee grounds in the food category?
They're an acidic food.
Acidic food.
Yes.
So don't think, well, I didn't do leaves, but I did a lot of coffee grounds. That's the brown.
Yeah, it would.
It's not the brown.
It would be a poor replacement.
Okay.
Yeah, don't think of it like by color directly, because not all brown things that are brown would be brown material. I know coffee grounds are one of the weird ones. It's just like eggshells is another weird one. But
eggshells are okay in there. Yes,
I would grind up your eggshells because if you don't, they're gonna just be there for a long time,
a lot longer to break down.
Yeah.
Okay. Same kind of a rule of thumb there. Okay. In Pittsburgh, this is Shohug. Go ahead.
Hi, Evan. I absolutely love your show, and I'm so glad that you're talking
Thanks.
About composting.
Yeah.
I've been a longtime customer of Impact Earth and previously Community Composting before that. It's a great service and wonderful people running the organization. I just wanted to say I first started composting when I lived in Oakland for a few years, and our compost service was part of our city refuse pickup. And you were given large totes for compost and yard debris, a large tote for recycling, and a small tote for landfill waste. And I just feel like that visual of seeing what your weekly waste can be or maybe should be, I feel makes a big difference in how you try to run your household. I love that my kids learned to compost in elementary school and kindergarten in Oakland. And I really believe, having been in many, many elementary lunchrooms locally and in California, there's so much food waste that I really believe that we need to start with the kids as soon as possible from a young age because they learn very quickly. And it's such an easy way to make a shift in your daily practice to reduce waste that's going to the landfill.
Well, I want to let all of our guests respond. I really appreciate not only that phone call, and thank you for listening, Shohug, but there's also, I think, in that comment, there's a lot of wisdom in the idea that when we actually can see the waste that we produce collected, it can be moving. And it probably affects you the same way that, maybe recycling does, and you see, you know, a full bin. When you're looking at food buildup, so let's start with the home side of things, TJ. I mean, it's a very visual picture, and you can see what you are not just permanently wasting that way, right?
Yeah. So I'll just give a little personal story real quick. I started composting in college, and I was in a house with four other people. And before we started composting, it was like 3 garbage bags a week. And when we stopped, it was 1 bag, not even
Amazing.
A full bag.
Yeah.
And it doesn't smell bad. Doesn't leak. So it's also very way easier to manage in terms of like what you're doing with your waste. Like it's not disgusting and it's not more cleanup. It's not more of a hassle. It actually goes out of the way to make things a little easier for you when you decide to start composting. You just got to get over that hump of, oh, I have to separate this.
I mean, there's a lot of psychology in this, isn't there, Elias? This idea of seeing what we're wasting?
Absolutely. And going back to the Oakland picture, you know, trying to change expectations, like we shouldn't have to or expect to fill up a 96-gallon bin full of stuff that we'll never use or repurpose again. We should try and minimize that as much as possible and enlarge the other streams so we can reuse as many materials as possible.
I mean, I do wonder to our guests from the city of Rochester. It's a pretty stirring picture every time you're bringing your buckets, you know, because they put it right there and they weigh it and they tell you what that weight is and then they dump it and you're staring right at it and you're at least feeling like you have done some small part to make sure, right, LaShawna? I'm looking at this going, at least that's not going, you know, in a landfill. At least that's not going, you know, somewhere it shouldn't go.
Absolutely. That's actually some of the feedback that we've received back from our our participants, right? They've noticed how their waste habits have changed. And so that's part of, you know, some of the good that's coming out of this program. So no, they're not at the zero waste landmark, or excuse me, marker point. However, they are reducing what they're putting at the curb in their green tote. And for all of us who are sustainability friendly, that's a huge win for all of us all around the board.
Okay, so again, as you heard our guests from the city mention, if you live in the city and you're not part of the program, you can still get involved, right?
Yes.
Cityofrochester.gov?
Yes, Rock City Compost.
At Rock City Compost, and you can still be part of that program. They have just under 2,000 people signed up now doing this for weekly drop-offs. Question from a listener on how do you know if restaurants that you're going to are composting? I don't know that there is a way to know that. It's a good question. You know, we mentioned Lento, customer of Impact Earth. Do you have other restaurants that are on your roster of clients over there?
Absolutely. So we put out a monthly newsletter that highlights specific partners in the community. We try and highlight a couple of restaurants, a couple of municipalities, and a couple of school districts, just trying to show our partners in the community who are making a difference, putting the effort forward.
Yeah, and because I know that every restaurant in the region who's getting ready for, dinner service tonight, they've got connections on. They all do. And, you know, it's on in the kitchens. They're getting ready. I would love to hear from you if you work in food service, if you work in a restaurant, if you're composting or not. And this is not even for air. Just let me know if those conversations are happening. This is not to shame or to, you know, to do anything other than to learn what those conversations are like. Connections at WXXI.org, because that is obviously, Elias, that's a big source of food waste, right? I mean, so you can be an Impact Earth customer if you want. There's probably other ways you can compost if you want. But one of the things I think would be interesting, TJ, is if there becomes more of a, maybe movement's too strong of a word, but a public awareness of who is deciding to compost and who's not. And if that, you know, if that's a decision-making point for people when they're going out to dinner going, well, you know, Lento decides that they compost. I think I'll go there instead of somewhere else. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I definitely feel like, at least for me, that would influence my behavior when it comes to what restaurants I go to. I feel like transparent communication is always a very key aspect to community building. And so if a restaurant is composting but doesn't broadcast it, I mean, it's great, you know, but if they aren't composting, then they should. If they are, then they should let people know, because that might be an attractor.
I mean, like, I'm almost annoyed at my own cynicism with the Chipotle story, because I'm like, well, you know, it's good publicity for Chipotle to talk about their composting. But you know what it also does? It gets other competitors thinking about it, right? That's kind of the point you're making, TJ, mm-hmm. is if you're doing it, let people know you're doing it. And sure, take the credit if you want, but maybe that inspires more action.
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
All right. So I'd love to hear more from the food industry side of this. As we get ready to wrap here, let me just close with this here. About 30 seconds a piece or less here. TJ, what's next in the future of American composting? What has to happen next here?
I think that we need to do more larger scale municipal programs like what's going on here in Rochester.
Okay. I know just the guy for it. He's sitting right next to you. What is next in American composting?
Absolutely. I agree with LaShawna. Getting into K-12 schools, educating people as soon as possible, I think that's really important with moving forward with these programs.
And when it comes to clearing the way to do that, some of it's education. That's a lot of it, is just knowing how to do this. But some of it you know, according to the EPA, there are still occasionally regulatory and other hurdles. It sounds like you guys are doing pretty well dealing with local governments on this.
Yeah, we're just trying to, you know, bide our time, move through the process. It's a long process, as, you know, as I'm sure the city understands, working with bureaucracy. So we're just trying to do our part.
Lashana Boos, what's next for American Composting?
Well, I think one of the things that Elias agreed with me is literally educating our children, right?
Yeah.
We see what it looks like right now through this pilot when we introduce it to a community and how we're bringing community together. But it does start with making sure that our children understand the importance of, number one, diverting those food scraps from the landfill, but also understanding that they need to change their habits and having that, you know, picture of it that they, you know, that the caller spoke in about in Oakland is part of that. So, you know, we're hoping just to continue with enlarging that message about what composting is and passing it on to the next generation.
One step at a time, right?
Yes.
You're on the way here.
cityofrochester.gov, Rock Compost. If you want to join also, we have a fourth site that should be coming up soon. So.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of success in 3 years on this, and we'll keep talking about it, listeners, because I know the questions, there's a lot of great questions on this. Tried to get to as many as we could. This conversation is part of NPR's Climate Week, and we're glad to do that. Thank you to our guests this hour, Theodore Maxey and Lashana Boos from the City of Rochester. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you so much.
And our thanks to TJ Chess from Cornell Cooperative Extension in Monroe County. Thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you to Elias Putney from Impact Earth for the expertise as well. Online where can people learn more?
www.impacterthroc.com.
Thanks for being here. We've got more connections coming up in a moment.